All right. Good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning? Fantastic. Well, welcome. Hope each and every one of you are doing awesome. It's great to see the smiling faces that are here this morning. So praise the Lord for that, that we have the ability to come and meet and fellowship like-minded individuals and just continue marching forward that with the gospel of peace. So thank you, Lord, for that. I do want to remind you, and for our folks online, that we have two books available, and you can email info@gracebible.com. We just need your snail mail address. We've got Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Terrence McLean, and we've also got Things I've Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True by our own Mike Stewart. So please, if you haven't taken advantage of that, please make sure that you email us your snail mail address, and we'll get those sent out to you right away. Today's message is titled, One Thing is Needful. I'd like you all to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Before we begin, let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this opportunity to come together with the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would speak freely through me, Lord. Empty me and fill me with you so that this message falls upon soft hearts, Lord. It's coming directly from your word, and I pray that we would just be able to let it wash over our soul, cleanse our spirit. And Lord, at the end of the day, it's all about grace. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask for blessings on this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've got Mary and Martha. They lived in the town of Bethany, just a couple miles east of Jerusalem. Martha was the one who graciously would invite her dear friend Jesus and his disciples to her home. There was no calling ahead, so it's safe to assume that they just showed up on their doorstep. But Martha's gift of hospitality shows what a giving person that she really, really is. So as we talk about this passage of Scripture and prepare for the holidays, please don't point your finger at Mary as somebody who missed the major point when Jesus and his disciples arrive. But look at both sides of the story. Mary and Martha, during this situation, have an open mind and a soft heart towards it, so that we can discuss things that will hopefully encourage all of us to have a little bit better of a holiday season. You see, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were some of Jesus' closest friends. Their family believed Jesus was the Messiah and saw him bring their brother back to life. Pretty amazing. And Jesus spent some of his last days on earth in their comfortable home. This is a simple story of two loving and devoted sisters, both serving the Lord in their own kind way. But one thing is needful. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. Take a look at this passage together. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, in verse 1, we've got Martha's house, which makes her the head of the household in this situation. Now, some believe that Martha was perhaps the older sister of the two, and perhaps she was used to being in charge. You know, I've heard rumors about this. Being an only child, I don't have some of the sibling rivalries and all that good stuff that many of you have been through, but sometimes the older sisters or brothers, in your case, may have that kind of reputation. I don't know. That's for you to decide. But Martha was a very courageous individual. During this time of Jesus' earthly ministry, having a close relationship with friends of Jesus and the disciples was a pretty scary thing at that point in time. You see, housing him and his disciples, you got to remember that there were authorities that were trying to find a way to kill Jesus. So this was not the popular thing to do. Invite Jesus Christ and his disciples into your home, fellowship, house them. In fact, Martha could have been in deep trouble doing this. But you know what? She was willing to face whatever consequences came her way. I think that's outstanding. We should all be a little bit more courageous like Martha. And remember, it's okay to do what's right and to stand. Amen. Now, verse 40 states that Martha was cumbered, or for my kids, because we've been doing a lot of studying this week together. We've been going back to the old Webster's Dictionary. So cumbered, meaning that she was embarrassed or distressed. Now, men, I'm going to ask you probably, and this may be reversed in your situation, but step into our wives' shoes for one moment. We have an undeclared guest at our home. Maybe, gentlemen, you have invited somebody over for dinner and your wife didn't know about it. And here they were, and all of a sudden, they were on your doorstep. And you're kind of looking at your wife like, what, honey? Just keep it going like we normally do. We want to make this helpful and inviting. Well, you know there's jobs to do when guests and friends and family comes over, right? There's food to prepare, tidying up. Of course, the food presentation. After the food is complete, we want it to look magnificent. Guys just want to eat. But amen. Our wives, they want everything to be on the right platter. They want everything to look perfect. And I know there's some gentlemen out there that do as well. Now, verse 39. Martha had a sister, Mary, who instead of helping, we see, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And of course, at the end of verse 40, Martha had enough. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but Jesus, don't you care that my sister left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me. You know, at this point, Martha was furious. She's in there running around getting everything prepared, and she's not getting any help. I think we all can remember a time or a situation when that's happened to us. Now, verse 41, I'd like to read this again. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Jesus didn't do this in a rude manner. Jesus repeated Martha's name with a calming and tender patience. Keep in mind, too, that Martha, all those preparations and all the things that Martha was doing were of the utmost importance to her. She wanted things to be right. She wanted things to be on point. Now, I'm sure we've all said something to our spouse that was not comforting or helpful or peaceful in one of these type of situations. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever pulled the Martha, Martha on anyone. There's always room for improvement. You see, Mary's desire to listen and to learn at this point in time clearly outweighed any domestic chores that were taking place at that moment. Now, Jesus never said Martha's service. If you look closely at the scripture, Jesus never said Martha's service was unimportant. As we all know that our service to others is such an important part of the ministry. Remember, learning and growing in the Word of God, especially in grace and right division, should be our top priority. Now the kicker, as brothers and sisters, or husbands and wives, how are we helping each other with the hustles and bustles of life so that we can both sit and be still and read and study the Word of truth? Keep in mind, one thing is needful. Another small takeaway from this passage of Scripture. Take a look at verse 41. Jesus gently reminded Martha, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." You see, Martha's strong desire and passion to be a superb hostess caused her anxiety, hard feelings toward her sister, and even outbursts towards Jesus. Imagine that. Not the ideal situation for any group setting or gathering. You know, many may think Mary was just being lazy. I believe she was simply prioritizing correctly at this point in time. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. When we get ready to have our family over for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, coming up right around the corner, how we prepare our heart to have the right heart attitude to actually serve them above and beyond, using the same attributes that Martha did, but also combining with what Mary did. It's so important. What can we do, men, for our wives so that everyone can sit down at the same time and enjoy the meal? So that fellowship with everyone that we want to hang out with, where we just have that little extra bit of push towards servanthood, better servanthood. You know, it's so easy to point the finger at Martha, but how about all the fingers that are pointing back to us about what we can do to make that experience better for our family? You're talking about family that may or may not be saved, that are in your house, a great opportunity to share the gospel message with them. And guess what? There's something weird going on in the kitchen. We hear an argument. We see Dad's face is red. Mom's in the other room, in the powder room, taking a moment for herself. Let's prepare a little in advance, brothers and sisters, to make this holiday one of the most special ones that we can. So what can we learn today from Mary and Martha? We probably all have a bit of both Mary and Martha inside of us. Maybe for one person it's in the kitchen. Maybe for another person it may be with our job at work. Maybe that's taken more priority over our time with God. I know it has in my life. It's been very busy. You know, the devil wants to be very deceitful in how he operates today. If he can't get you by overworking you at work, and maybe you've got that one covered, well, guess what? He can get you with Hulu. He can get you with Netflix. All of the things that we try to do to occupy our time and to possibly take us out of the world for a minute, because we all do it. But we can pick this book up. We can pick this book up with our brother or our sister. We can pick this book up with our spouse and read it and listen to the Word of God. Let that Word of God wash over your heart and your soul and your spirit. Prepare your heart this season so that fellowshipping around that table is a little different. We can also, our priorities, they matter. You know, it's essential that we make time to praise and worship God, including learning right division, so that we can and do grow in grace. Is that not the ultimate goal? When we step out of the church doors today, we are to be more graceful. We're to be more kind. We're to have more patience. And quite frankly, over this past week, tested mightily in all of those areas. But that's what's supposed to be coming out of us. At the end of the day, we can only deliver what we've put in. With Christ in us, He's the power, He's the strength, He's the might. Amen. But He still requires each and every one of us to fill ourselves up with this book. That's why we come and praise and worship on a Sunday together as the body of Christ, where we can link hands, we link armor together in this fight against all of the religious mess that's out there right now. Because there is. Another thing we can learn from Mary and Martha, don't let our busy lives and acts of service get in the way of spending time with God and His Word. Sometimes we're so busy making meals for the children and getting children on the bus and all of those things that, quite frankly, would not get done if they weren't being done. But then our mind keeps racing, right? On to the next item that we need to do, or we make out this long list. But where is this on our list this season? Where's the Bible on our list that if nothing else ever happened during the day, did I spend time with God? Did I break away from the monotony of all the things that are happening in this world? And did I spend time in His book, learning and growing in grace? Or maybe your actions and your reactions over the last week since we met, maybe they haven't been so good. Maybe if you're honest with yourself and you think, boy, the way I reacted to my wife in that situation was not a way to honor God. The way I disciplined my kids 10 minutes ago in my truck before I came in for this message, was I giving the grace that I've been given from Almighty God? And I can honestly say, nope. Only you can have some time to reflect and to think about those things and how we've gotten to where we are today. Our singing, our praising, our worshiping. But should it be with a little bit more season of grace? Another thing we can learn, that anxiety never solves any problems. Trusting God does, regardless of any particular outcome. I've learned so many things by just being wrong and learning to be graceful through it. Whether it's studying the Word of God and thinking mightily that I know something, you know, that's got to be right, that's got to be correct, and then God humbling me and showing me, bringing someone across my path, showing me that I was wrong. It takes a humble heart to receive that kind of correction. I don't think any one of us here today want to run around and beat people in the head with this book. I think all of us, that moment that we got saved, that moment that we believed the simple gospel message, is that same moment we've got to go back to when we're having a Mary Martha moment and remember that grace that was gifted to us, that we received. And then we need to make a change. We need to take a breath, and we need to let God's grace wash over us so that we can handle or react and respond to these situations, these faith stretchers, as I like to call them, that come about, that we can react and respond in that with a Christ-like manner and a Christ-like response. It's not going to end anxiety. It's not. God has got us each wired differently, which is amazing. If we really stop, I've had to think about my kids, for example. I've had to think about how they each react and respond differently, and how I coach them, how I teach them the word, how I discipline them. There are different things that if you just slow down a little bit and you just ask God for a little bit more grace in whatever situation comes up this season, He will give you an amazing opportunity to be a better human being. You see, acts of service and hospitality is very important, and it's needed in this ministry. You know, but prepare a little ahead of time for the upcoming holidays so that everyone, as we discussed earlier, can participate with one another in the food and fellowship. I think that's going to be huge this year. There's so much going on in this world today. We've got to be the ones that are bringing that next level grace so that they see it, so that the hearts are softened, so that they can listen to the message of right division. You know, most people that love God aren't running around thinking, well, I wrongly divide. They're not. But we have to show them gently, peacefully. We have to set the tone, and especially around the holidays when they're coming, to be able to discuss these important things that we learn day in and day out. But the only way we can do that is as couples, or in this case, two sisters that live with one another. What are we doing to make sure that the whole family, especially in this case, Martha and Mary could have been a little bit more power-packed with what they might have presented to the disciples at that point in time. You know, Mary was, obviously her attention was right there. Martha's was busy doing all the stuff. But I would have to imagine that for the disciples, Mary was a good example of slowing down, stopping, and taking a moment to know what's most important. The other thing that we need to do during the holidays, we got to pray always for a more correct life balance so that the whole family is learning and growing together in grace. Let's close in prayer, but I want you to remember there's one thing that is needful.